If we do, I'll try really hard not to do it into the microphone. That would make sure everybody was awake, wouldn't it? Please join me in a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather tonight with this community, to hear your word, to sing your praises. We thirst for you. We are hungry for you. And in your faithfulness and goodness, you feed us, you strengthen us, you sustain us. We pray, Lord, that on this night you would open our hearts to hear the word that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last November, there was an image that went viral across the airwaves. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask Pete if he will put it up for me. But just a second here. Maybe you'll remember it. It was across all of social media, newspapers, magazines. Every avenue of communication shared the photo repeatedly. The photo was taken at a protest in Portland, Oregon. Protests were being held all over the country in solidarity with the family of Michael Brown, a black unarmed teenager who had been shot and killed a few months earlier by a white officer. Following a grand jury's decision to not indict the officer, many protests took place. So Pete, would you mind putting that photo up for us, please? Do you remember it? As I mentioned, it was a photo that was taken at a protest actually in Portland, Oregon. The story goes that the young man had a sign and was standing at the protest, had gone with his family, and the sign said, "Free Hugs." And the police officer who was working the protest that day walked over to him and said, "Do you have one for me?" And the boy didn't hesitate. And a journalist caught it on film. The image caught our attention, I believe, because of all that it communicated. It shows the reality of deep pain, but also the beauty of shared compassion. It sent a message of hope, that we can find common ground in spite of our differences, that we can come together in spite of the gaps that exist between us. It's a message we're hungry for. It's something that we need to see again and again, because we know the reality of pain, and we know we need to see the beauty of compassion. It's a pattern into which God calls us and invites us to live, to see the pain that exists, not to avoid it, not to ignore it, but to see it, and then to share compassion, which has power to heal and create hope. The author Karen Armstrong has led a very public campaign about this call to living. She was awarded the TED Prize several years ago, and in case you're not familiar with that, what that is, TED is a nonprofit organization committed to spreading ideas. It sounds pretty vague, but it's a pretty powerful tool in our world today. The TED Prize is awarded each year to an individual with a creative, bold vision to spark global change. By leveraging the TED community's resources and investing $1 million into a powerful idea, each year the TED Prize supports one wish to inspire the world. Karen Armstrong's wish was this: that TED would help with the creation, launch, and propagation of a charter for compassion, crafted by a group of leading inspirational thinkers from the three traditions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and based on the fundamental principles of universal justice and respect. Since her idea first caught attention, it's become a rapidly growing global movement. You can check it out online, the Charter for Compassion. In May 2013, the Dalai Lama said it's one of the most important activities on the planet. Diverse communities intentionally practicing compassion for the sake of the other, for the benefit of the whole world. So here's a couple of questions I'd like you to ponder. Think about these. I'll give you time to process it in your mind. How do you define compassion? Where have you seen it play out in your life, in your neighborhood, in your community? Are you intentional about practicing compassion? I think it's one of those things that we can easily forget about being intentional about. It's an interesting way to start every morning, is to include it in your prayers, to be practicing compassion. The theologian Frederick Buechner writes, "Compassion is the sometimes fatal capacity for feeling what it's like to live inside someone else's skin. It's the knowledge that there can never really be any peace or joy for me until there is peace and joy finally for you too." Our reading for tonight, Psalm 145, reminds us of the origins of compassion. Compassion originates with God. The psalm opens up with celebratory words of David declaring, "I will exalt you, my God, the King, and I will bless your name for all time. I will bless your name every day and praise your name forever and ever." It's really a short couple of phrases, but they're phrases that pack a punch with their meaning. You see, name was a really important concept in the ancient Near East. Names reflected the natures and characters of the person who bore them and were conceptually equal to the essence of one's being. So that means that when you acted in someone's name, it was as if that one was doing the acting, not you. In verses 3 through 8 of the psalm, the psalmist references a number of God's attributes. The Lord is great, good, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. As the attributes are reflected in the life of the psalmist, it is God who is being praised, God who is magnified, God whose greatness is declared. Names were important and an important concept in the ancient Near East, but they continue to carry weight in our lives today. Who you are makes a difference, not just for you and for me, but for the whole world. You see, you are a child of God. I am a child of God. We are the body of Christ. That is who we are. It is central to our identity. It is our name, if you will. And nothing and no one has the power to take that away. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Living out of our identity as the body of Christ, we give God's name glory whenever we reflect the attributes of God. Compassion, grace, slowness to anger, steadfast love, faithfulness, these are attributes of God as they're revealed to us in Jesus Christ. So when we practice these same kinds of attributes, we are giving God glory. Practicing compassion is nothing less than God's work. So it's important work. It's faithful work. As God graciously extends compassion to each and every one of us, we in turn are empowered to extend compassion to others. Joyce Rupp writes in her book, The Cup of Life, "God is always extending compassion toward us, loving us through the many ups and downs of our journey. We, in turn, are meant to offer this compassion to others. Life is a constant cycle of giving and receiving." Compassion is not always easy to practice. It stretches us, it pushes us. Excuse me. It pushes us to places that aren't comfortable. It refuses to accept excuses of busyness, ignorance, and helplessness. It means letting go of apathy and indifference. Compassion requires sacrifice and risk. It sounds impossible. But God is faithful. And all things are possible with God. God promises to be at work in us, helping us to share the compassion that God has first shown us. It is a holy way to live. So, okay, it's time for your cups. If you brought your cups today and you thought, maybe I forgot, here are the cups. No broken cups tonight, right? Thanks, Gene. Should I ask, how did you choose to make compassion come to life for us tonight with your cup? But exercise for our cups. Ask that you hold them in your hands. Close your eyes. Call to mind someone in your life who has showed you compassion. A thoughtful comment, maybe, a kind gesture, an unexpected card in the mail, a word of concern, a much-needed presence. Call that person to mind now. Offer a prayer on their behalf, giving thanks for their presence and the compassion they shared with you. Now open your eyes and direct your attention back to the cup that you hold. Visualize God's compassion filling your soul with love. See God's love filling your cup to overflowing. There's no way for you to contain it. There's no way for you to control it. God's love can only be shared. It can't be controlled or contained. So now call to mind someone who's hurting. Maybe it's a person you know well that you've been thinking about that's on your heart. Maybe it's a group of people on the other side of the world. Call that person or those people to your mind. As you breathe in the next few minutes, I'm going to ask that you imagine their pain. And as you breathe out, send out the abundance of God's love to them. Breathe in, imagine their pain. Breathe out, send God's love to them. Now picture yourself gathered with that person or with those people at the foot of the cross. Ask Jesus to send hope and peace to all who suffer. Join in prayers together for all who are in pain, asking for hope and peace. And then ask Jesus, whose name you bear, to bless you with courage to keep practicing compassion for the sake of the world God so loves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.